say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and our special guest this week is Carol Bettendorf, a registered hygienist at the practice of the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Welcome to the broadcast, Carol.
Thank you.
So you're doing great so far. Sue, maybe you want to kind of introduce Carol a little bit? Tell us about Carol.
Well, Carol is a hygienist in our practice. She's been there a long time, like many of our staff, about 10 years.
That's pretty brief at your office.
Brief. You know what? That is short for our office, isn't it? You're right.
She is.
But
a newbie.
The reason why we have Carol here is we attended a course on Saturday that had some really nice, interesting research, which we've talked about on the show before. So we thought we would come back, emphasize what we've been talking about. We thought it would be interesting to have another hygienist with us who sees it firsthand.
Mm. But Carol, you know, you had said to me before we were recording that much of the things that were said, they were things you already knew.
Yes, pretty
much.
There
wasn't anything new, so to speak. It's unfortunately a lot of this information, and Dr. Edelstein can confirm this, has been known to us for many years, but there just seems to be a disconnect there.
It has been. We've known for probably about 20 years that there is a connection between periodontal disease and various systemic diseases. Not only is it locally a disfiguring and terrible disease, there's bone loss, there's gum infection, there's drifting of teeth, loss of teeth. It's the number one cause for tooth loss in the adult population. So not only is it locally a huge problem, but systemically it's a problem. We've known for years, and by the way, it's an epidemic. 50% of the population over age 35 has some form of periodontal disease, and 70% of the population over age 65 have some level of periodontal infection. So this is an epidemic in the country. And so not only do we know that there are local problems and local destruction, but there are systemic problems. Higher rates of heart attack and stroke, greater incidence of preterm delivery if a woman is pregnant and has periodontal disease. There's a very strong connection with diabetes. People with periodontal disease have a much more difficult time controlling their blood sugar. So those are the entities of systemic disease that we've known for about 20 years that there's a connection with periodontal disease.
When you say we've known it for 20 years, as far as the medical community is concerned, is it a fact?
Well, there are correlations. We know when someone has periodontal disease, they have higher rates of the systemic diseases that I mentioned. We do not know the exact mechanism. We do know that the bacteria in the mouth, the bacteria enter the gums from the inflamed tissues. And either they are byproducts or the actual toxic bacteria does circulate in the bloodstream, and it's found in every organ in the body. And these—
Isn't that amazing?
Every organ in the body
has oral bacteria.
And for instance, when we look at erythromas in the heart, you know, the beginning blood clot, they've actually identified oral bacteria living inside the early form of a blood clot in the heart. We have found the oral bacteria in the placenta of women that have a preterm delivery. So we know that these bacteria are circulating throughout the body, and we are finding them in the various organs in the systemic situations that we're talking about, the systemic diseases.
So if 50% of the population have periodontal disease, this is, suppose I'm a 40-year-old male, which I'm not. I am a male, but I'm not 40. But I go to my doctor for
physical. You could pass for 40.
Well, thank you. Right. And you go to your doctor for a physical. You know, a lot of times at 40, people go and get things checked out. You know, they tell you, like, at 40, you should get your first this and your first that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it behoove the doctor to say, you know something? Well, tell me, are you visiting a dentist regularly or having your gums checked? You know, we know the gums, as we've said, are ground zero for systemic disease. You're shaking your head.
I think absolutely.
Absolutely.
It ought to be. Think about this. When patients come to our office, they fill out a very thorough medical history. Just that one thing should be on a medical history at a medical office. Do you receive regular dental care? Do your gums bleed when you brush or floss? And depending on the answer, ding, automatic referral to a periodontist.
Mm.
We have such a link now.
Especially if they are diabetic, smoke, have any immune compromise.
Yeah, let's
disease,
add in the other morbidity factors.
Rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, you know, if they have these other things that we're seeing the connections, past history of heart disease, cardiovascular disease, I think that they should see a periodontist, not just a dentist.
Yes, correct.
But Jeff, you're 100% correct. There should be an automatic referral for a resource, because what if we find in 10 or 20 years that periodontal disease is one of the true risk factors for cardiovascular disease? And between you and I and the folks in this room and the listening audience, I'd be surprised if it doesn't end up being one of the true risk factors, like smoking, obesity, and family history, and being a male. Those are the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. I'd be shocked if periodontal disease wasn't added to the list at some point in time.
Well, look,
it should be.
Yeah. I mean, we know there are 15 ports of entry for bacteria into the human body. Guess how many are in the oral cavity? 9. There are 9 ports of entry for bacteria
of
to get
in. Of the 15 in the entire body?
Absolutely.
Wow, 9 of them right in that one area.
Yeah, absolutely. All of them. Tonsils, gums, tongue, teeth, those are all portals of entry. Not just the mouth, the hole, but within the hole, the lips, are 9 other places bacteria can seethe into your, in that one cavity. There are a lot of different avenues for the bacteria to travel.
Talk about the Human Genome Project, where they established these points of entry. What was, in other words, what's the genesis of this project? What brought it on?
Well,
you know?
That particular project was designated to find out how DNA pathways happen through the body, how many exactly genes does a human body have, and what are the pathways? But during that project is when they established 15 ports of entry, and of course 9 were.
You know, I still think, tell me if I'm wrong, I mean, I still think a lot of the problem, though, stems with the public. It's just ignorance on the part of the public. Look, you know, I have friends who, and they're not stupid people, but they only visit a dentist if they're in pain.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's part of it.
I mean, they brush their teeth and they might even floss.
Well, the researcher that we took the course on.
I have
on,
a friend who doesn't floss as much.
Yeah. Well, she had stated that that's part of it. Keeping the oral cavity clean requires dexterity and skill. That's part of the problem. And the second problem is people are just people. They're not doctors and nurses and dental hygienists that have degrees and take continuing education on their body all the time. We do that. It's up to us to help communicate that.
We only get to educate the people that are actually active in having treatment in our office.
They're already coming to you.
Right. But if you look at the medical field, they're seeing the other people that aren't putting dental as a priority.
Yeah.
They go to the gym, they take care of their body, they make lifestyle changes, but they never once think about dentistry. They think of it as an option rather than a necessity.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a whole shift in thought process.
And the it's sad because some of the rural areas, I would imagine, you know, you have children, these poor neglected little children who've never been to a dentist, you know?
Yeah.
I know a dentist who once told me that she never visited a dentist till she was 19 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not an uncommon statement we hear from people.
Right. And her parents were immigrants from Iraq, I think she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, just wasn't a part of, this wasn't something that you do.
Right. Sure. Mm-hmm.
When should somebody be evaluated, Dr. Edelstein, initially, to see what the, well, just to the overall condition of the gums?
Well, I think every adult at some point in time should should see a periodontist. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, probably earlier if they're either type 1 or type 2 diabetes. As I mentioned, smoking is a risk factor for periodontal.
They want to plan to get pregnant? Gosh, check
well,
it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check it out.
Someone planning to get pregnant should definitely see a periodontist, because that's something that I failed to mention earlier. Pregnancy makes gum disease worse. Gum disease has been linked to a higher rate of preterm delivery. Why would a woman want to risk the health of their child that way? So, yes, I think it should be part of a prenatal. You mentioned
screening,
on a previous show, they take the folic acid, they have prenatal care, but they don't have prenatal dental care.
How about healthy gums?
When we know that there's a higher rate of preterm delivery,
yes,
when someone has periodontal disease, and we know that 50% of the women out there that are getting pregnant have some form of periodontal disease.
Correct. And we've talked about on a previous show, too, for diabetes. A diabetic patient will get counseled. They all know, whatever you do, don't clip your toenail too short, because it could lead to infection, which could lead to
amputation.
Greater infection and amputation. But they never get told, be screened for gum disease, and if you had it, treat it, because you don't want to lose. It's okay to lose teeth, but don't lose a toe.
Mm.
It just astounds me.
You know, my daughter took my granddaughter to a chiropractor when I don't think she was 6 months old. She had to go to a chiropractor, you know, for like an evaluation or something. I don't know. I don't want to cause problems out there with the I thought it was absurd. But would it be crazy for a parent to take their 12-year-old to a, I'm not even just talking about a general dentist, but to a periodontist, for a periodontist to take a good look at this 12-year-old's gums? Or is that too young?
It happens all the time. We have patients that will bring their children in for regular cleanings with us just to make sure that the foundation is healthy. It happens all the time. And I think it's the best thing that someone can do.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, here's my first bullet point for segment number two. I love this. Folks who are overweight or obese have a 2x risk of developing periodontal disease. Boy, I sure feel sorry for them. All right, folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, our special guest this week, Carol Bettendorf, who is a hygienist at the practice. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking available, by the way. That was a concern I had, you know, the first
time. Parking?
Because, well, yeah, you know, I mean, you're across from Piedmont Hospital, right there in the middle of Buckhead, but
yeah,
there's free parking.
Sure.
Right up against the building, too. It was great.
Yes.
You know? In fact, you have your own special area.
We do, right in front of
free
the building.
Parking.
It's covered. So, Jeff, you don't have to worry about your hair being
getting wet.
getting frizzy on the way in.
What little I have. And right next door to the Darlington. What's the population now?
You know what? I looked today.
Oh, you did?
I did look, because we come to every show and we talk about it. 6,722,000. I can't remember the last three numbers.
That's all
but
right.
But
6,700,000?
We're up to 6.7.
Do you want to hear something? That's up about 100,000 since we started the show last August.
Do you remember that?
I do.
We should have been keeping track the whole time.
That's
that would have been
a lot
fun.
That's up 100,000.
I wonder if Piedmont Hospital has like a little button every time a baby's born. Ding.
Yeah.
Like if they get to register another person is now a member.
Like Northside Hospital.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They
really
got them.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I think that 100,000, I think 90,000 of them are coming from Pennsylvania. You know, the Rust Belt up there, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan.
Yeah.
See a lot of those license plates down here.
That's funny.
All right. We'll be back with more Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and Carol Bettendorf when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and our special guest this week, registered hygienist Carol Bettendorf. What is the title? It's registered something hygienist.
Registered dental hygienist.
Dental hygienist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As opposed to... other hygienists.
And unregistered.
Other parts
I don't know.
Of the body. I want to remind everybody of our new patient special, $129. I took advantage of it myself. It's worth $650. $650 worth of what kinds of things do you do in that $129 new patient special, Doc?
Well, it's a thorough dental and periodontal exam. We would take any necessary x-rays whatsoever, including a CT scan if someone is in need of an implant. We would take a bacterial sample and do a phase contrast microscopic study of someone's bacteria under the gum, full medical history evaluation, and treatment planning, and with appropriate recommendations to help someone get healthy.
So can somebody have outwardly beautiful teeth, you know, beautiful smile, nice white teeth, looks great. They open their mouth, you look inside, you do a little examining, a little bit of research, and you find that their condition is anything but what it looks like.
Sure, happens all the time.
Absolutely.
Happens all the time.
Is it a challenge when you get a new patient just to kind of like look inside, see what the situation is? Because everybody is different.
Yes,
right?
It's tremendously rewarding, I have to say. I enjoy what I do very much, and I have for 31 years now. I know you can't tell, but I've been doing it for a while. I find it a lot of fun, and as I mentioned, very rewarding, helping people achieve health and aesthetics. And those things are very important to me. And I also try to help people get a terrific outcome and have a good experience also while we're doing it. It's unacceptable to me for someone to have a less than optimal experience during the process.
You know, was it last week, last show we did, we went over some of the patient reviews?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody, Carol Bettendorf, who's a patient of Dr. Edelstein's, who's dissatisfied.
Oh,
couldn't
exactly.
Find any.
No, you cannot. He is the best in the business,
there's,
no doubt.
There's got to be a crazy person or two out there that... No,
you know,
I'm just curious.
Kidding. I mean, you know, I've always said there's like a small percentage of the public, you know, a couple of percent, that doesn't want to be happy. You know what I mean? You can't satisfy
yeah.
them. No matter what.
Yeah.
It's just the way they are. It's just in mm-hmm. their nature. That's their. When you said he's the best, Carol, I remember you telling me the first time I met you a few months back that, well, you live up like Kennesaw, Ackworth.
I live in Ackworth, yes.
Okay. And you said to me, you know, I probably pass 50 dental offices on my way.
Or more. Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it to
yes,
go there.
Yes, definitely.
And you've been with him for 10 years. How wonderful.
He's very passionate about what he does, and he believes in the entire system. So it's a great team as well. Everyone in our office is a great team.
You know, I went to mygumdoc.com and I saw, you know, the website and saw everybody, including Chance.
Oh,
the mascot, our office mascot.
The office mascot.
You know, I've never seen Chance. I've been there several times. I've never seen Chance. Is he walking around the office?
well, he comes when there actually is a bring your dog to the office day. I think it's in the spring. I don't remember exactly. But when I hear about it, I do bring Chance. And he is allowed to stay in my office, my private office.
People love him.
Chance,
wonderful.
He's a golden doodle.
Okay.
And
so part golden, part poodle?
Poodle.
Yeah, which means that he's really clever. I mean, he will wait till we leave the room before he jumps up on the countertop to
right.
to lick the steak.
Gone.
Oh, he's that smart.
How old is he?
Chance is about 7, 8, 7.5.
Okay.
We adopted Chance. And if I could tell you a story,
is he a rescue?
Not really a rescue. We heard about golden doodles and what a wonderful breed they are. And Amy somehow got an email that was passed around that this woman, the single woman, lived in Midtown, and she got a promotion, and it required some traveling. And she had this terrific dog that was 8 months old, and she wanted to find a home for him. So we went over and met Chance, the most adorable thing you'll ever see in your entire life. And we decided to bring him home to see if he could have a sleepover date and see if he would fit with our other dogs, because we had two other dogs at the time. And I knew I was in trouble, Jeff, because when I was leaving her driveway, I looked in the rearview mirror, and Chance and Amy, my wife, they were in the back seat, and my wife was French kissing him. I knew I was in trouble right then and there.
So glad I heard that story. Remind me not to go near Amy.
I was in trouble. I was in trouble.
And how long ago was this? Well, he's 7 or 8 now, so about, 7 years ago?
About 6 years ago.
Wow, how long?
6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's such a wonderful thing. I know pet rescue is one of your pet projects, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah, really. It is one of our charities.
Canine Assistance is one of our, part of our charitable giving campaign in the office.
It's our most popular one of the four that we have.
Didn't you say there's more clicks on the part of your website that has a picture of Chance?
Yes.
Than any other part of it?
Everyone wants to read about Chance.
Yep.
Yes.
We just saw this morning on our Facebook, I was just reviewing kind of some past posts that we had posted, and our number one post that got the most noticed was a picture of Dr. Edelstein and a little terrier that came to visit our office with a patient.
Yeah.
And we took a picture of that. And I think the photograph of Reed, your son, with one of your other dogs was our number two. Yeah. So the dogs...
Moses is our other golden doodle.
Yeah.
You ever see these commercials, you know, when they show these poor neglected dogs, you know, mm-hmm. in cages?
Oh, I can't watch it.
The face, it looks like a human face. And they're looking up at you, you know, it's hard to...
I can't watch them.
All right, so folks who are overweight or obese have a 2 times risk of developing, they have double the risk of developing periodontal disease. So,
yes.
So if somebody comes in for an exam and you see them, you see, you know, they look like they got, you know, kind of a hoss, you know, they got a little spare tire there. Does a light bulb go up in your head, Doc?
Yeah, but then again, think about it. Periodontal disease is so common anyway.
So you're half looking for it anyway, did we?
Of course, of course. And that's probably why someone would be in the office to begin with. So it just, you know, if you think about it, there's our shared risk factors for both. Someone who is overweight is more likely to be type 2 diabetic. Someone who has a hard time controlling their sugar it makes them more prone to periodontal disease. To an infection anywhere in the body, and periodontal disease obviously is a very sensitive area of the body, so it shows up in the gums. And it's not uncommon for us to see someone who was not diagnosed with diabetes and for us to suspect it and recommend that they have a medical evaluation.
Conversely, if you were able to reverse the gum disease,
yes.
does it help ameliorate their diabetes?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It does.
How wonderful.
Yes.
It does. It's not going to make someone completely well, but it can reduce the A1C to a point to where some people can eliminate one of their oral medications. So it is not an uncommon occurrence where we can treat them and help them control their blood sugar.
And maybe slow the progression, because from what I understand, diabetes gets harder to treat with time. You know, age is one of the risk factors, I think.
Yeah.
So as we get older, mm-hmm. our blood sugar rises naturally anyway, mm-hmm. I believe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, sounds right.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it.
CRP value is now a marker just as valuable as the cholesterol number for the cardiac health. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, C-reactive protein is a marker of inflammation. And it turns out that people with periodontal disease have elevated C-reactive protein. And guess what? Someone who is prone to heart disease or cardiovascular disease has elevated C-reactive protein. So there is a shared pathway of chronic inflammation in the two diseases. So it turns out that to evaluate C-reactive protein probably should become part of someone's physical. Just like evaluating someone's cholesterol level.
You know, I've heard too that, say, other diseases like cancer, often, you know, they look for the inflammation in the body,
mm-hmm.
and it can be a marker for, mm-hmm. for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If they've got this inflammation, you know. How long have they been talking about inflammation as a marker? I don't remember hearing about it 30 years ago as a layman.
Probably almost 20 years. As a matter of fact, we found an article from the cover of the Life section of a USA Today from 18 years ago, and that's right in front of you now, from 18 years ago. And that article from 18 years ago talked about chronic inflammation in the body and periodontal disease as a source for chronic inflammation and its effect on systemic diseases.
All right, so this was an article I'm not going to go into the article itself till we get to segment four. Didn't you say that to me?
Yeah,
before?
Correct.
Okay.
But, all right, but an overview.
Okay, so this was a front page article in the life section of USA Today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means a lot.
Yes.
What I want to know is how much has the medical community, how much attention have they paid to this article, would you say, in the intervening 18 years since the article came out?
I mean, we can't say every doctor, every nurse, but as a periodontist across the street from one of the major hospitals in our city and their offices, and we all have relationships with our own doctors, and we have patients who are doctors, we still do not see a noticeable amount of referrals from the medical community. It's a rare chance when it happens.
When you meet a doctor, Carol, I'm going to ask you this, you meet somebody who happens to mention they're a physician, an MD, you ever ask them about the attention that they pay to the possibility of periodontal disease?
Most of the doctors that I'm talking to are people that are very aware because they're at our office for care themselves.
These are MDs who come to you?
Yes.
For care.
And so those doctors are aware. We still don't see a lot of referrals from them per se, but they seem to understand, and when we've talked about it, they do seem to understand, but we're not seeing the referrals.
Do we see referrals from our doctor patients?
No.
That are our own patients?
There is a disconnect, but we're not exactly sure where that is. Are they telling the patients and the patients not following through? Or
how about the insurance companies, though? Is it, how they have like coding? You know, on their...
Yeah, that's part of the problem, too.
Isn't it part of the problem?
Yeah. For some reason, we have dental insurance. We have insurance for teeth, but we don't have separate arm insurance. We don't have separate foot insurance. We don't have separate brain insurance. And the separate...
It's all part of the body.
Yeah, the separate teeth insurance that's out there, dental insurance, it's a coupon.
Yeah, and it's like
it pays $1,000 a year.
Yeah, it's optional or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's an infection, and I don't know why our health insurance companies or why dental insurance doesn't cover it comprehensive like a normal infection.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot more, including this more about this article from USA Today, because, well, let me kind of tease the audience. It mentions Louis Grizzard. I remember Louis Grizzard. I actually met him once. Met him around 1993, I met Louis Grizzard. He was already pretty sick, and he was in his mid-40s, and he died shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a link between, at least it's suggested by one physician, by an oral surgeon, that there was a link between his death and his periodontal disease. So we're going to talk about that and other uplifting things when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, our special guest this week. A registered dental hygienist, Carol Bettendorf. It's not an easy name to remember, but what do they call you, Carol B?
Just Carol B is okay with me.
It works fine. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington Apartments. Are they raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, the Darlington? Have you seen any work done yet?
No, no. I guess they take time to go through everybody's leases and... Interestingly enough, they redecorated about a year or so ago, so it's all coming down.
That sounds like something I would do, remodel only to sell.
Yeah.
Great strategy there. All right, we'll be back with more Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and Carol Bettendorf.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, our special guest this week, Carol Bettendorf.
Bettendorf.
Bettendorf. Bettendorf, who is a registered dental hygienist. Well, you warned me to just say Carol B.
Carol B is
and that
just
would be,
fine.
Are you enjoying it so far?
I am.
Is this your first time on with us? So this is an article. I think this is staggering, It's from 18 years ago. It's from April 14th, 1998. USA Today, a reputable publication. And the headline says, chronic tooth infections can kill more than a smile. And it's written by Steve Sternberg. So, and coincidentally, it mentions Louis Grizzard, who was a longtime columnist with the AJC, very smart guy. had a great following, died at a young age. I think he was, well, it says he was 47.
Mm-hmm.
He died in March of 1994. Wow, so I met him not long before he passed.
Yeah.
So it says that at least one doctor who evaluated Louis Grizzard's case believes that Grizzard's heart valve problem stemmed from neglect of his teeth. And boy, you know, look, I don't know too much about Louis Grizzard's case, but from when I remember seeing him, he looked very frail. And I felt bad for him when I saw him because I know he must have been suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And according to the oral surgeon who treated him, he says he had bad teeth, he wouldn't floss, he wouldn't brush. He was a classic example of somebody whose chronic dental infection led to chronic heart disease, valve failure, and ultimately death. And if this isn't enough to scare people into getting checked out, I don't know what it is, you know?
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And in spite of information and an article like that appearing 18 years ago, there's still not a whole lot of attention about treating periodontal disease.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the needle has not moved a lot.
Let me ask you this.
Community.
If a person doesn't brush as much as he should or properly, you know, because every time I come to your office, they tell me how to brush my teeth, how to floss my teeth. They don't floss enough or they don't floss properly.
Mm-hmm.
Can seeing a periodontist regularly, can they nonetheless have good oral health if they're seeing a good periodontist, you know, competent periodontist, even though they don't do all the things that they should be doing with their teeth? Does that make any sense the way I asked that?
I'd say yes. We have some patients that you know, they just don't really want to brush and floss, you know, as thorough as they probably should, and they know that. And we have some patients that we'll see every 4 to 6 weeks for professional cleaning. And they seem to be healthy. They seem to be reasonably healthy, reasonably stable. And their philosophy or their thinking is, you know, if I can't do it, you guys can do it. And we do.
They just see us more frequently.
Yeah.
They
and
see us more frequently.
That's a good idea. I mean, that's what keeps them stable.
I don't change my oil every 3,500 miles. I just go to the dealership, you know, every few months and let them
do
fix it.
You
know?
Well, that's their philosophy. And we have, I don't know, a few dozen people that we've really been able to keep quite healthy and stable that way.
Must be sad, though, when you see somebody who you say to yourself, because I know you've told me there's some people who have gum disease despite the fact that they do all
yes.
the right things.
Yeah. I mean, about 20% of the people we see are just very prone to periodontal disease,
so isn't
regardless of doing everything right.
When you see somebody 50 years old with advanced gum disease and you know there's going to be, you know, it's just going to be a lot of work involved to get their gums where they need to be, if in fact you can even get them to where it really needs
mm-hmm.
to be, isn't it a sad commentary? But you say to yourself, you know, if this person had done the right things years earlier, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Or came to us a few years earlier.
Yeah, was referred to us a few years earlier. I mean, it's just, it is, it's everything. It's sad, it's frustrating, it's a challenge. I'm excited that they are here. We've seen a lot of people. I'm thinking of one in particular that sees Carol for regular cleanings. When I first saw him, just, he admitted he neglected. And we just kind of had a long talk with him. Here you are young. You've got 3 or 4 decades left on this planet. There's no more wiggle room for you. And he's been motivated ever since. We may be even doing some implants on him pretty soon to replace some of his missing teeth. So we really can take those cases. Those people need some special periodontal care and support.
Does a person need a referral from a general dentist to go to you, to your office? In other words, if they hear this broadcast, can they call you and say,
absolutely,
I want to make an appointment to come in?
Absolutely. You know, if you want to see a physical therapist, you have to have a referral from a medical doctor. It is not that way with us in dentistry. They can absolutely pick up the phone and call us directly.
And as a matter of fact, probably, I don't know, 40% of the people we see
yeah.
are people, folks yes. that call us directly.
Yes.
Okay, now I see you. I have periodontal disease and, you know. You're not revealing any confidences because I'm freely admitting it. You know, so there's no HIPAA laws involved here. So I have periodontal disease. I'm getting an implant actually in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But I also use you now as my general dentist, and I get regular checkups from you. You come in mm-hmm. and look at me, and also the hygienist works on me. So it just seems to me that, and you didn't even ask me this, but this was my idea to start using you as my general dentist as well. It just seemed to make sense.
Well, since the number one cause for tooth loss in an adult is periodontal disease, it does make sense that we would play a pivotal role in the long-term health and maintenance of an adult patient.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And we serve many of our patients that way, as we are their resource. We are their internist, if you will, of their dental career.
I like that. They're dental internist.
Yes.
That's why we have Carol's and Tina's and Mandy's.
And what about Ground Zero? Isn't that one of the great...
Jeff, you coined it.
That's one of the great lines of all time.
You coined it. We learned it. Interestingly enough, in this USA Life Today article, I love this. It says, the author of the article says, if the eyes are a window into the soul, the mouth is a portal to the rest of you.
That's so true.
Isn't it?
I think Ground Zero. There's no question about it. All right, we have to take yet another break when we come back. Listen to this, folks. In 1993, periodontal disease was listed as a complication of diabetes. However, it has gone unnoticed. And seniors who have regular dental cleanings, I love this, report a 40% reduction in pneumonia and the severity of COPD. I never thought of a linkage between pneumonia and periodontal disease. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, our special guest this week, Carol Bettendorf, who's a registered dental hygienist. I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, and you're going to see all about the dog. What's his name again? Chance?
Chancy.
Yeah.
Chancy?
Chancy.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't it amazing, you know, how people are? I know some guys, big, tough, gruff guys. You put that dog or cat, either, as the case may be, you put that dog or cat in their arms, and they're like a little girl. You ever see that?
Yeah.
Just like a little teddy bear.
Yeah.
You know? All right, they're located at 2045. I want to see, will you bring Chancy in so I can see Chancy?
I'll try.
I'm seeing you Thursday. 2045.
I'll look at the schedule.
Hey, it might help a lot with me. You know? I'm nervous.
Well, he can't be in the operatory. He can be in my office. So you can come into my office and play with him.
And give me a little pep talk. You know?
Yes.
2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next door to the Darlington Apartments, one of the great landmarks in this town, you know, to see the latest populace. 6.7 million people, huh? Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought it was more like 5.7 million. 6.7 million people.
It's amazing.
In Greater Atlanta. And we will be back with more of Open Wide when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and our special guest this week, Carol Bettendorf. Carol, when you, as a hygienist, and how long have you been a hygienist?
For 15 years.
15 years, 10 of them
with Dr. Edelstein. Just over 10 years, yes. Wow.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Sue and Dr. Edelstein before. Is it when you have a new patient, I don't know if the word fun is correct, but are you looking forward? Are you excited? Is it kind of a challenge to see what's going on in there?
I am.
First time they open their mouth, you know?
Like you said earlier when you were talking about patients that have neglected and haven't been to the dentist in a long time, I always like to make sure to make them feel comfortable and say, we are just glad that you have started here. I mean, you have to start somewhere. So you can't just continue with the neglect. And they're normally very happy to have that starting point and get to a maintenance point and get healthy. I mean, it is exciting to be a big part of that.
I think the hygienist, too, in many cases, that's the, me as the patient, the layman, you're my conduit, you know?
Yeah.
You're my first contact. You're my most common contact and the longest one, you know? So if everything's okay, you know, I may see the dentist when I get my exam for a few minutes and we may talk about my situation, but I'm spending a lot more time with you.
I had a patient tell me just a couple weeks ago that I'm her longest relationship. It was really cute because we have become good friends because they really do confide in you and
They can ask you things they might be afraid to ask the doctor.
It's true.
Right.
All the time.
You know, we're like, hey, is there any way you can tell him, whatever it is.
They're comfortable with me because they spend most of their time with me.
Yeah. When you say it's like your longest relationship, I found that, the hygienist can do more talking than the patient because, well, my mouth's open and there's something in there. So I'm hearing a lot from the hygienist. You know what I mean?
You get to hear a lot of stories about their life.
Yeah. And as a guy who likes to talk, you know what I mean? It's kind of nice, though. I get to, like, sit and listen this time and hear. You know, you get to know the hygienist pretty well, you know? And this woman has a long-term relationship with you.
Exactly.
You know, you may be her father confessor, kind of. You know what I mean? All right, so it says here, in 1993, periodontal disease was listed as a complication of diabetes. However, it has gone unnoticed. That's tragic, Dr. Edelstein.
Yes. And then the next one, seniors who have regular dental cleanings report a 40% reduction in pneumonia and the severity of COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Think about all the commercials that we see about controlling type 2 diabetes and the inhalers for COPD. I mean, every single time you watch TV, there's commercial after commercial to medically treat those two conditions. Yet, if they had periodontal treatment, they might get some significant improvement of those two conditions with periodontal treatment.
My wife and I joke that whatever TV stations we watch must be for old folks like us, because it seems like every other commercial's about COPD, diabetes, what are the other ones?
Fibromyalgia.
All that, Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Erectile dysfunction. Yeah,
all
uh-huh.
that. All that stuff. So.
But, you get that little lawyer voice that comes on and says, don't take this if blah, 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 blah. Well, how come the little lawyer voice doesn't say, do see your periodontist and rule out gum disease?
You know what I saw? This is really the height of, hypocrisy. But, so if he's like a commercial for one of these, like Xarelto, or I don't want to pick on them. And then in the next commercial break, there's a law firm that's going to help you sue them if you took that drug and you're not feeling well.
That's true.
That's scary, isn't it? Yeah. It's a sign of the times
in this country. It's so litigious today. Come on. I saw a thing on TV, I think it was on Fox and Friends. There was a woman who was texting as she was walking through a mall and she wasn't paying attention, and she fell right into a fountain. Okay, well, that happens. It was kind of comical, She fell into the fountain. They said she's suing,
Oh, God.
Because she, fell into a fountain while she was texting.
Good Lord. Figure.
I'd be too embarrassed to tell anyone.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Look, we've only got a few minutes left. Sue and Dr. Edelstein, but you went to this conference. Carol, you were there too.
Yes, right? I was.
Okay. So the point that really had the conference buzzing was the shocking disconnect between the medical and dental community. Aren't you terribly frustrated? Isn't it frustrating?
It's frustrating and puzzling at the same time. Why there is such a huge disconnect. A lot of times when I talk to a physician friend or a colleague and I ask them or tell them about periodontal disease and something related to their area, they look at me like I'm some sort of kook, and there is a huge disconnect, and we are puzzled in our office, in our specialty, in our profession, as to why there is such a disconnect, because there isn't. The body's connected and all these things are interrelated.
In my notes here, it says a key factor in the proliferation of periodontal disease is the individual's own immune system. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know much about this. You do. Does our immune system sort of wane as we get older?
Is it not quite
what it was?
Of course, yeah, it does, and it also changes to some degree. And someone, by and large, a young person is not prone to periodontal disease because they're privileged because of their immune system. And someone, by and large, who is over age 35 becomes more prone to periodontal disease. And also they have to be genetically predisposed to some extent as well to actual attachment loss and bone loss around the teeth. So there is a genetic predisposition and there is an age component to it as well. But can you guys add anything to that? It is an amazing disconnect.
Well, regarding genetically, we know that you may be genetically predisposed, and it's this way not just with gum disease, but certainly with gum disease. You can fire your genes to go in either direction. You can fire up your genes to play right into that, or you can take action to, I don't really have to go down that pathway. You know, genetically predisposed doesn't mean you're automatically going to get it and there's nothing you can do about it.
But you may have
there's good, a lot you can do about
you
it.
You may have good genes and a good immune system. But what I'm thinking is that if you don't take proper care of your mouth, including seeing
yes.
a periodontist for gum disease, I don't care who you are, you're not totally impervious to disease, and it's going
right.
to get you in the
right.
end.
Right.
Sure.
And boy, and you can save a lot of expense and a lot of aggravation,
absolutely.
Discomfort, getting it taken, you know, nipping it in the bud, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Unbelievable.
Nip it in the bud, as they say. Barney Fife's. Used to say that.
Is he the one that used to say that?
Nip it in the bud. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and our special guest, registered dental hygienist Carol Bettendorf. And did I get it right?
Yes,
I've
you did.
I got it right pretty much almost every time.
You have. You've done a great
once.
Job.
Thank you. Did
Thank
you enjoy
you.
It?
I really did. Thank you so much.
Do you want to come back?
Sure, I would definitely come back.
That's the key, you know what I mean? She says, I enjoyed it, I loved it. Would you want to come back? Hell no. And that tells you something.
Yes, of course.
All right, and again, Sue and Dr. Edelstein, as always, thanks so much.
Our
I appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.